know the Justice family's been working and growing citrus for 4 generations. Did I have that right? Or is this is Selwyn fifth now?
No, he's the fourth.
He's the fourth. He's working on the fifth generation.
Well, he's got her out there.
I got to meet her on Thursday. And as I understand, she gets $1 a day at the U Picket. So we'll cover that in a little bit. But in a big commercial application, it's a little different than a homeowner one-at-a-time application. But we're going to test Selwyn right now and bring him online with Bill and Buckeye and see if we can't help diagnose his lemon tree problem. Bill, welcome to the program, and tell us about your lemon tree.
Good morning. We've got a lemon tree. The thing is loaded down. But the lemons are all sour. They're bitter. And I don't know anything about lemons, but my wife eats lemons like I would eat an apple. And when she spits it out, it's really bad. That's one thing I have done, and I've heard you talk before about the root ball. Obviously, I don't know anything about trees. I built a well around the tree, and so it's got about 6 inches of dirt covering that root ball. Is that a possible problem?
Well, Bill, if your tree was planted properly, you just kind of want to let that water run around the base of the tree. As long as it wasn't buried too deep, you don't have to worry about the bark of the trunk getting damaged. So if you added extra dirt around the tree to protect it, you don't need to do that. You just need to make sure that your well extends far enough out. And one piece of general advice I always give people is you want to make sure that that basin around the bottom of the tree goes at least as far out as the canopy. And if you want to go all the way, you want to go another foot out past that. That'll make sure that all your roots are getting watered properly. And then you want to make sure that you're watering deeply. I try to tell people that, you know, in the summertime, if you've got an adult tree, you want to make sure that you're watering about every 10 to 14 days in the summertime, you know, July. And then in the wintertime, you back a lot of that water off. You're down to about 11. You go back down to about every 21 days or so, 21 days to maybe even a month. And the easy way to tell, you know, in terms of watering, the easy way to tell is make sure that you got your about 36 inches. You want that water to go down when you're watering it, like I said, nice and deep.
My wall is about 6 inches high, and it is well past the drip line of the tree. And I might have been watering too much because during the summer I was I run water lines over there on a timer and run the water open for about an hour a day.
Okay. So what I would recommend with the watering is you want to go ahead and let that water run for about 8, maybe even 10 hours at a time, and then to make sure you're getting good penetration with the water. And then, like I said, you want to back that off. One of the problems with watering, and I know an hour doesn't seem like a shallow watering period, but it is. One of the problems that you have with that is twofold. One, you're likely to increase the salt content in the soil there and cause salt stress to the tree. And then the other thing is, if you don't let that top 6 inches of soil dry out between waterings, it increases the likelihood that you're going to have some kind of soil-borne pathogen that's going to cause problems with that tree. So you want to water it longer per session, but like I said, space those sessions out. And in the wintertime, the other thing about the wintertime is you don't want to be hurting your water bill with all that water that the tree doesn't need. So you can conserve your water in the wintertime by backing that off by about, like I said, every 3 to 4 weeks in the winter months. And then in the summertime, you want to increase that frequency up to about 10 to 14 days. But you want to get a nice, good, deep water on that tree that whole time. I like that you run your hose out there. Some people run them with bubblers and that kind of thing. It's a little bit harder to make sure they get enough water with those, although that is the more conservative way to irrigate. But that good flood water for, like I said, about 8 to 10 hours and you want to make sure you got about 36 inches of penetration. One easy way to test that is just get you a nice long piece of rebar and taper the end of it, and you can just kind of use that to test it every once. So you don't need to do that all the time, but when you're trying to figure out if you're getting enough water on there, you might want to try that once or twice and make sure that it's working out for you. And then let that top 6 inches dry out between cycles to make sure you're not stressing the salts and you're not increasing the likelihood of getting your tree sick.
And
that irrigation, that proper irrigation solves a lot of problems with trees right off the bat.
Selwyn, we're going to go into our fertilizing now that we've covered water. But before we do that, one thing I haven't mentioned, and there's so many things to mention, we're going to have y'all back or continue this in a special podcast. But y'all are a certified organic grower. Mr. Duane, tell us what that means to be a certified organic grower.
Well, in order to be certified organic, you have to have had no application of any pesticides, herbicides, commercial fertilizers for 3 consecutive years before you can qualify as organic. And then you have to select a firm that is a organic certifier. And they come in and inspect your operation, and you have a series of forms you fill out about your operation, what you're doing, and how you're running it. And if you meet the criteria of the certifying agency and the USDA organic standards, then you'll be issued with a few, you know, it'll cost you a few dollars. And then you'll get your certificate of certification, which we do have. And as a matter of fact, some of the people that I sell to to resell, I will provide them with a copy of that sort of thing. So that's how you get organic certification. And there's of course a lot of organic growers now. Russo does some organic, and Duncan does organics on large scale, vegetables and that sort of thing. But yeah, we are certified organic, and then that allows that product, the stuff that we pack down in Rio Rico with Patagonia Orchards. They are a certified organic packing house, and they are inspected, and they have to be certified by an officially licensed certification agency that product and the way they handle their system is organic, and then they ship. And so our grapefruit go out of that facility into stores around the state.
When Duane brings up a good point that a lot of our farmers today are doing both organic and conventional farming. The area of their farm that's organic, though, just has to be designated for that. And there's specific things, obviously, that you kind of deferred to or inferred that you go toward. And that is, if one of our growers is going to designate about 500 acres, he's got to follow with those certification requirements.
Yeah, and that includes when you get into when you're doing both sides of the coin, you have to ensure that any equipment that you use in the organic portion is either used solely in that part of your operation, or if you use it in your commercial operation, it has to be cleaned thoroughly before you go back into. And most of the outfits that are doing that, they'll have enough acreage in organic that they'll have equipment that is used strictly in the organic part of their operation.
And one thing too is, as long as it's sanctioned organic, you can still use organic sanctioned fertilizers and pesticides, but they just have to be approved and clarified under the organic standards.
Yeah, and all that simply means is that product is all purely organic. Yes, there are. I mean, you can get organic manure spread on. I mean, is there
non-organic manure?
Yes, there
yes,
is.
Yes, there is, believe it or not.
Yeah, there is. If the input into the beast is not organic, then the output is not organic.
Okay, all right.
So, like Hickman's has organic chicken manure available you can buy and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's become quite and actually, even in regular commercial, not even organic, in the veggie industry today, the requirements for sanitary conditions is just incredible. So there's a tremendous amount of work that farmers are doing in the vegetable world to ensure that product that gets to the store is clean and free of any pathogens.
You're growing more on smaller acres, safer and healthier than in the history, any recorded history.
Absolutely true. The American agriculture produces the cleanest, most nutritious food in the world, and they do it, provide it to the people of the U.S. at the lowest cost of any nation in the world. The American people, their actual food, and I say this, people say, well, I came out of the grocery store and I had $150 in this basket. And then you have to say, but how much did you spend on the food? Because you've got paper towels and toilet paper, and you got a couple of knickknacks, and you got some candy, and you've got all this non-organic thing that are now sold in the grocery store, non-food products that are sold in the grocery stores. But I don't know, what's the percent, Julie?
10-12% of our disposable income goes to groceries here in America. Contrast that, if you were a household in Indonesia, another developing country, it can be as much as 40-50-60% of your disposable income. And so we are so blessed in America. And I give all the credit to our farmers and ranchers here in America and people like Dwayne Justice that are doing it with such the latest technology efficiencies, the latest continued improved knowledge of how to do this. And we're reaping the benefits of it. You and I, every time we go into a grocery store or walk to our farmers market in our neighborhood, Dwayne Justice and farmers and ranchers like him are the ones that are the reason we're benefiting so well from our produce and our food here in America.
And why we bring y'all in the first Saturday of every month to connect the local Arizona listening audience to where they can find these organic, locally grown, fresh produce. If you're going to the store and you're going to be buying groceries anyway, take that extra effort to make sure you're looking and getting something that comes locally.
Right. And the other thing I stress, I celebrate both organic and conventional. They're both healthy. They're both nutrition. You cannot distinct the nutritional difference. But the most important thing to remember about organic and conventional farming is they're basically methods of farming. Both have markets. Both produce abundance. And both really make it, give us as American consumers a greater opportunity for choosing between the two.
Now, when we come back, we're going to get our critical fertilizing dates. Then we'll bring someone back in to talk about what you referenced earlier. Where do you go spend $40 on grapefruit and load up for a couple months?
Right.